Lake Powell was created over 50 years ago by damming the Colorado River and flooding what was Glen Canyon. At the time, Glen Canyon was relatively unknown, but many believe it was beautiful enough to be its own national park. Now Lake Powell is a place for recreation and a source of energy and water storage. Utah state officials hope to tap the reservoir to nourish a growing population, but others say it's already tapped out and doomed because of climate change. The source's Ross Chambliss spoke with two people advocating two very different actions with Lake Powell, two people named Eric.
Okay, first, meet Eric number one.
Eric Millis. I'm the director of the Utah Division of Water Resources.
We're in Eric's office, tucked way back in the Department of Natural Resources building in Salt Lake City. From here, his agency, a staff of around 40 people, have been working out the options for a Lake Powell pipeline, how it would draw water from the west of the lake near Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, which routes it could take to move the water 140 miles to the west, how it will access the power it needs to pump the water uphill along one stretch, and where it will finally take the nearly 86,000 acre-feet of river water to the Sand Hollow Reservoir near Hurricane, Utah. There, the water could nourish Washington County's booming population, one that the Utah governor's office says could quadruple to nearly 600,000 people in 50 years. Millis's division recently submitted a preliminary licensing proposal for a Lake Powell pipeline to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
We have collected a lot of information. We've got that out there. We hope that the public and the agencies will look through that and give us the feedback that that they've got for us so that we can move ahead with this.
Eric has been thinking about this project for a long time. He became director of Utah's Division of Water Resources in 2013. Before that, he worked for the division for 25 years as a civil engineer, working on various water development projects across the state. His agency will submit a final proposal by April 2016, and then it'll undergo a two-year NEPA environmental impact review. In the meantime, they'll also need to figure out how much the pipeline will cost to build. Right now, the figures range from $1.5 to $3.2 billion. And those costs are contentious, especially since project critics, including some economists, doubt Washington County residents could ever really repay the state to recoup the costs. They argue that their water rates would have to be so high that Washington County residents would be better off conserving or finding other options rather than tapping Lake Powell to get their water. And then there are those who have serious doubts that Colorado River will have enough water in coming years to justify a Lake Powell pipeline. And that brings us to Eric number two.
My name is Eric Balkin. I'm the executive director of Glen Canyon Institute. It's really part of a greater movement that grew out of anger that Glen Canyon Dam was built in the first place. We are a science-based advocacy group. We've worked hard over the last 20 years to educate the public, facilitate scientific research, and influence smarter water policy in the West.
Eric Balkin grew up reading Edward Abbey books and floating the Colorado on river trips so often when he was young that he's now a fervent advocate of the West's most important river and the stunning canyon that drowned beneath it. He says Glen Canyon Institute doesn't actually advocate for removing Glen Canyon Dam, but it's not something they're opposed to. What Eric Balkin says they really want is for water managers to abandon Lake Powell, let Glen Canyon restore itself, and to fill Lake Mead first.
The purpose of Lake Powell is to harness excess water and deliver it to Lake Mead to fulfill our legal obligations. And currently, there isn't enough water in the entire river system to fill either one of those reservoirs. So they were built to catch excess water, but the days of excess are over, and it just doesn't make sense to have two half-empty reservoirs when we could fill one.
Balkin says filling Lake Mead and draining Lake Powell would actually increase the amount of water in the system. Lake Powell loses a lot of water to ground seepage, unlike Lake Mead. So filling Lake Mead could save up to 300,000 acre-feet of water, by some estimates, the same amount used by all of Nevada each year.
We've heard that proposal for many years. We don't agree that it's a good idea.
This is Eric Millis again. This notion, as you might expect, has lots of critics, most of whom are current water managers at federal and state levels. Eric Millis is among them. He says draining Lake Powell could hurt the tourist economy. It would remove a source of renewable energy, the Glen Canyon Dam, and it would impede managers from stabilizing flows in the Grand Canyon.
If you took Lake Powell offline, you would take almost half of the storage on the Colorado River off. And to the upper basin states, to the lower basin states, to Mexico. That doesn't make any sense. And so there are a number of consequences that would come from that. First of all, it would require a significant rewrite of the law of the river in order to even make that work. But we believe that that would make the upper basin states, Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Utah, more vulnerable to shortages from drought. It would also make the lower basin states more vulnerable to shortages from drought, just because that storage is important to them also.
Draining Lake Powell would obviously defeat the purpose of a Lake Powell pipeline. And Millis pushes back, saying keeping Lake Powell and building the pipeline could actually help withstand climate change because it could help capture rainwater all year long. But Eric Balkin and others who study the potential impacts of climate change say the Colorado River is in real trouble. Studies by the Scripps Institution of Oceanography, Stanford University, and the U.S. Geological Survey all indicate that growing demand on the river by water users, diminishing precipitation, and increased evaporation from high temperatures will eventually undermine Lake Mead and Lake Powell unless something radical is done.
Why does the Division of Water Resources in the state believe that the lake will be reliable enough to go forward with this pipeline?
We've had the Bureau of Reclamation do modeling for us. The Bureau of Reclamation really is the expert on the hydrology and the operation of the river, and they have used their models that they use in operating the river to assess the impacts of climate change, additional development, including the Lake Powell pipeline, and those sorts of things. And as they have done that, they have shown that except for the very most extreme conditions, there will always be water in Lake Powell for the Lake Powell pipeline project. And so we feel confident about that, that they have, as the experts, looked at it, modeled it, tried to cover all the bases, including climate change scenario, and see that there is still water for the project. Now, people look at the level of the lake right now. It's down almost 100 feet. We've been through almost 15 years of drought now. And with that, we had a few good years in there. 2011 was a great year. 2005 was a good year. There have been other good years in there. But Lake Powell has performed very well, I think, in the face of that many years of drought, to be drawn down that only that amount.
I have a hard time believing that. It seems a little too simplistic to me.
Eric Balkin again. He says pipeline critics also point to Bureau of Reclamation studies to argue that the lake will not perform well. Balkin says this reflects the delicate relationship between the federal government and Western states. Even though the feds know there isn't enough water in the system, he says, they can't legally tell any state not to develop their water. Even cautioning a state not to could be interpreted as federal overreach.
I think when we're talking about the Lake Powell pipeline and diverting more water from the Colorado River, which is already overtapped as it is, we really need to look at the big picture. The Colorado River Basin is in a water crisis. We are seeing a systemic water shortage right now. And I say water shortage and not drought because calling it a drought implies that it's temporary and this is going to go away in a couple of years. And the truth is that the Colorado River Basin states actually use more water every year than flows in the river. This is why Lake Powell is at 50% full. This is why Lake Mead is at 38% full. This last year, Lake Mead dropped to its lowest level since it began filling in 1938. This last year, we also saw total storage on the Colorado River drop to its lowest level in history. If you look at the big picture, we are seeing a river in decline. That is to say that we're taking more water out than flows in the river. To build a massive pipeline that will cost Utah billions of dollars that relies on this depleting resource, I think is totally irresponsible.
In many ways, Eric Balkin and Eric Millis represent two very different tribes operating on the Colorado River. One tribe has long sought to manipulate and engineer the river to perpetuate growth and prosperity for the West's growing population. The other tribe seeks to free the river from that controlling mindset and instead accept some limits to our growth. This side wants Western water managers to adopt a more holistic, Western-wide strategy for the river, and they say we need to learn to be better at conserving water. With plans for the Lake Powell pipeline moving forward, questions are routinely raised as to whether Washington County and St. George have really done their part to conserve water, first and foremost to building an expensive Lake Powell pipeline. The Washington County Water Conservancy District says residents there use about 120 gallons of water per capita per day, which is about on par with other southwestern cities. Eric Millis.
They have seen a 26% reduction in per capita water use since 2000. And you'll remember that the state goal is a 25% reduction from 2000 to 2025. And so Washington County has already met that goal, and there's still things that they could do more.
One thing cities there like St. George could do is implement more steeply tiered water rate structures that could send price signals to water users to use less. Conservation advocates say raising the price on water is really the best way to see real conservation happen. Still, lower basin states like California and Nevada are already taking drastic steps to cut their water use. Las Vegas residents, who get 90% of their water from Lake Mead, have high monthly water costs, and even water police, who levy fines to yard-watering wasters. Las Vegas City aims to get its average per capita per day water use number down to 90 gallons by 2020. The Lake Powell pipeline would divert about 6% of Utah's Colorado River compact allocation, but some speculate that if Utah builds its Lake Powell pipeline upstream before taking similar conservation actions, lower basin states will throw a fit. But Eric Millis disagrees.
The allocations allotted to each state through the Colorado River Compact and all the documents that are associated with that is really what governs how much water each state gets. And Utah has a particular allocation, and the other states do also. And each of those states expect to use their allocation. Utah's right there also. And so there's an agreement among the states. They understand, they realize that each state has an allocation that they expect and intend to use. And that's all based on the law of the river, as they call it, which is the Colorado River Compact and many, many documents that are associated with that.
That logic is business as usual.
Here's the other Eric, Eric Balkin.
That's the way it's always been done, and the way that you capitalize on your water rights is that you build, you develop. And that's just kind of the status quo. But I, you know, again, I really got to argue that that is not going to take us into the future in a sustainable way. You know, by using up every last drop of our legal allotment, we might be capitalizing on our legal use, but if there's not enough water in the river to supply that in the future, we could have to make some really hard decisions. So we're seeing this in the lower basin, right? Arizona and Nevada are already preparing for delivery cuts from Lake Mead. There's nothing to say that that couldn't happen to us in the upper basin. We may have water rights on paper, but we already know that there are more paper water rights than physical water in the river. Mm-hmm. So they're not wrong in that assumption. And a lot of the state legislators refer to it as our birthright, you know, to use that water. And it's true. And it's a reasonable explanation for wanting to use up that water. But it does not address the fact that there is likely not going to be as much water in the future. So, you know, we could see some really bad repercussions from using up every last drop of our water. We could see conflicts between Lake Powell pipeline water versus Central Utah Project rights, Native American rights, other agricultural water rights within the state. They could become, they could enter into conflict with one another should our water situation change. And beyond that, there could potentially be even water battles between the upper and lower basin. We don't know. I mean, there are rules laid out to some extent that dictate this, but they don't anticipate those reservoirs being as low as the science says. So based on the scientific projections, the reservoir levels that could exist in the future, there really isn't a legal structure to deal with that.
Both Eric Millis and Eric Balkin have starkly opposing ideas for how we should manage the Colorado River in the climate change age. Each passionately believes he knows the right approach to meet the needs of the future. One Eric sees more concrete, steel, and engineering confidence as the solution to a warmer, drier, more crowded future. The other Eric says those old approaches haven't worked and won't work to keep the river vibrant. He says we need radical new ideas, beginning with an acceptance of our limitations in order for us to maintain our affluent lifestyles with less water. Regardless of whichever side you might agree with, Utah will need to reach some solution for Washington County fairly soon. And whether the solution ultimately involves greater conservation, a Lake Powell pipeline, or no pipeline at all Utah residents would be wise to pay attention. Your participation in this discussion could influence the ultimate outcome. For The Source, I'm Ross Chambliss.
Because we're holding back the Colorado River in these reservoirs, and because of all of these so-called straws, the pipes and pipelines that allow us to draw water out of the river to use how we please, the river actually runs dry about 100 miles before it reaches the sea. But last year, conservation groups and government agencies played matchmaker, and they actually connected the Colorado River to the Sea of Cortez in what many people, even scientists, called a kiss. The story of that kiss after a short break.